In the Fale is a music show on ABC Radio Australia, hosted by me, Paola Tukefu. I'll be spinning my favorite tunes from dancehall to disco, calypso to country, reggae to roots, and hip-hop to house music, from across the eras to keep the kids and the aunties happy. If it has a pumping groove, I'll be bringing it to you to bump you into the weekend.
Search up In the Fale to listen online or find it in the ABC Listen app.
This is an ABC podcast.
This is Niche and Footy with Sam Wykes and Tinidar Arona on ABC Radio Australia.
Whakalofa lahi atu to our Niuean listeners and welcome everyone to Niche and Footy Fridays, the home of Pacifica footy news and stories in the Rugby League and Rugby Union worlds. My name is Sam Wykes and with me is my Cook Island Koi Tinidar. Arona T, grand final week, baby. Here we go.
Here we are. Kia ora, Sammy. Kia ora to all our listeners. Happy Friday. It's here.
It's here, mate.
Grand final.
It is here.
NRL, NRLW. We also had the Daily M's this week, so congratulations to all our Pacific players who received awards. We'll rip through a few of them announcements shortly, but today on our show we have Nemanja Kudundrani joining us again.
Yeah, we do have a bit of rugby news. We do have a little bit there to get through, but it is all rugby league mainly.
We will dive into the grand final this weekend, both NRL and NRLW. Let's rip into it, Sammy.
Let's get into it.
Hi, I'm Stefano Otuokamanu, and you're listening. Oh, sorry.
You're listening.
We'll leave that one in.
And you're listening to Niche and Footy.
Oh, big Steph. He's been in the headlines a little bit this week in the lead up.
I love it.
I love it as well.
The character.
Lit the fires. He's kicked the tires. They've
first
got the headlines.
Grand final.
Yeah.
Made the switch from Tigers over to Storm.
What a feeling, eh?
Now he's in the big dance.
Here we go. Righto. Let's get to this, eh? Storm Broncos. Which team do you want to start with in terms of the keys?
The keys and the wee. Let's go with the Storm, but I'll quickly mention yesterday I got to be a part of the Levels Golf Day. So Justin Horrow, you know, runs this mad golf day where a lot of high profile NRL players.
Including yourself.
Join. Nah, not me. But I actually went round and asked, who do you reckon will win? Storm Broncos. And right across the board, it was pretty much even, like split down the middle. So there wasn't a heavy favorite. And everyone had their own kind of views. But it was cool to see from the player's point of view that it's very well balanced for this game.
Which player gives you the most confidence, though, when they said, I'll take his point over anyone else?
Ooh, I'll go with Junior Paulo.
Oh, yeah?
Junior Paulo, yeah. He mentioned how Brisbane can always be a threat because of they play out of structure. Because with Reece Walsh and Ezra Mann, which we'll get to, they can just play what's in front and break a game open. So that was cool to hear. But let's start with the Storm. Strengths, I think, when you look back and when they played their preliminary semi-final against the Sharkies, all of their structure or their attack come off quick play the ball. So when you look at their players, Xavier Coates, geez, he had some strong carries coming out of his own end. Will Warbrick and then Stefano Toikamanu, the way that he started the game. When he came off, he was switched with Tui Kamikamitha. But just the way that they ran forward, got down, quick play the balls, Sharkies found it hard to control the ruck. So I think Broncos, one, you'd have to make sure you control those first three tackles, control the ruck speed, because on the back of that ruck speed, you've got Harry Grant to worry about. Now, once Harry Grant has quick ruck speed, Mark is out of play, he's that smart that he can come out, find penalties or just find opportunities for his Storm teammates.
He did that towards the back end of that game against the Sharkies. There was no markers. And I remember you said that the week before, just watch for him, just looking for those markers being out of place. And he scooted out. He's gone through, and that's when they found Xavier Coates to score that last try. Mm. But he is a smart footballer.
And then on the back of that, when you've got that ruck speed, you've got their two halves to worry about. You've got Jerome Hughes and Cam Munster. Now, when you give them time, you give them more options. And the way to stop that, obviously, is to try and get in their face, cut the time off. But when they've got time off the quick ruck speed, that's where they're they're most dangerous, because they find those opportunities to execute, find opportunities to score points. And then it just seems like the Storm players are very, they're all in sync, they're all in tune, not as structured as the Panthers, but they know when those boys get the ball. Cam Munster looks up, he'll run to a hole, and then the other guy just running into their next hole, find those opportunities.
So is that what you think is probably, even though that's their biggest strength, they play to their systems. No one gets out of sync. Everyone knows their role and they just stick to it, and then they make sure they complete and have high completion. But is that what scares you the most around what Brisbane can do? Because they can have a bit more ad-lib football, just what Junior Polo was saying.
Yep.
That the way you got to break down a systematic team is you got to be a bit unstructured.
Yeah, and then you go to, so you spoke about Broncos there with Reece Walsh, Ezra Mam. When he comes off the bench, they play what's in front of them. They break a game. They can break a game open just with one play. So you can't switch off right across the board to both the left and the right side. Have to come up and not give him that space. Now, the difference with this Broncos team, I think, is that they've got two experienced halves in Ben Hunt and Adam Reynolds now to be able to guide them around the park, to be able to keep that control, keep some kind of structure. But then when there's opportunities for Reece Walsh, for Ezra Mam, give them the ball, let them do the work. I spoke about the Storm's quick play the balls. You've also got the Broncos back five to worry about as well. When you're looking at Dean Mariner, Kotoni Staggs, Gamet Shibasaki, the Palauan.
The Palauan. Sorry to all our Palau listeners. Sorry about that. Bum steer there.
Karapani and also Reece Walsh. Like, they've got a strong back five that can also get them on the front foot. But then Payne Haas, Xavier Willison, when he come off the bench, they're like their Stefano Tui change up. So when you've got Payne Haas playing 80 minutes in the middle, going forward, doing all that work, he's also got Paddy Carrigan this week. So those two in the middle, look out for the amount of work that they do, and then get the ball to Reece Walsh, get the ball to Ezra Mam, get the ball to your strike weapons to score points.
Hey, you know when someone like Payne, how he played 80 minutes?
Yep.
Does he do that again in a grand final? Like
100%.
Yeah? So 100%. If Mark Maguire's like, you just go, son. You tell me if you want to come off, you can come off, but other than that, you're staying on for 80.
We think with Madge, like they, early in the year, they were talking about how hard preseason was, you know, the amount of training they had to do, the amount of you know, tough days in camp that they'd done. Now look at the way that they play now. The way that they've finished the games against the Raiders, now the Panthers. So they've built this conditioning to be able to withstand, you know, the fatigue of the game.
Yep.
And you look at Payne Haas, he's an 80-minute player. If they can keep the score close again, same as Panthers, yes, they were down 14-0. If they can keep it that close, I think that they're a strong chance of finishing very strong.
What's a comfortable lead? If the Storm do get out in front, what's a comfortable lead for them to say they're going to close out this game? Because I'm thinking even 20 points isn't enough with 10 minutes to go.
40 points.
40 points.
You can start getting comfortable, but if you're not ahead 40-0.
And that's 40 to with 10 minutes to go. Yeah. Like, it can't be at halftime, because I'd still back the Bronx to come back.
I think, too, the big part of this game for both teams will be discipline. You know, the amount of penalties that they give. Hopefully the ref just lets the game flow and we don't see a number of whistles going off. But I think discipline will play a big role in who wins this game. The amount of times that you invite the team, the other team, the opposition team, to attack that try line due to discipline, due to poor being offside or markers not square, which we just spoke about Harry Grant, that he will look for those opportunities. But discipline will be a key factor in this game.
All right, a couple of quick fire ones here. Who has the better halves pairing?
Off the back of last week, Storm.
Okay, easy. Storm. Okay, who's got the better kicking game?
You know what, Reece Walsh was sending some long kicks because...
Yeah. That 40-20 against the Raiders at
Adam
top,
Reynolds,
yeah.
Adam Reynolds, because of his hamstring, so that Reece Walsh had the kicking duties. But yeah, I think long game, I'd have to say Broncos.
Okay, all right. Who's got the... Because you always talk about that back five in the yardage with the wingers coming back.
Strongest
who's got
back five?
Yeah, who's got out of this one?
Ooh, I'm going to go with Xavier Coates, the way that he was carrying last game. I'll go with the Storm.
Okay. And the big men in the middle, who's got the better one?
Payne Haas v. Stefano. I'm going big bad Payne.
Payne, I'm with you. Yeah, it's very, man, that's even. That's even.
Man of the match. I'm going to go with, if the Melbourne Storm win, Cam Munster. If the Broncos win, I reckon Payne Huss might be a good chance.
I reckon he's a good chance. He has to if he plays 80. All right, final one from me. They say the burn from last year with the Melbourne Storm, there's only two players from this year's Melbourne Storm grand final side that didn't play in last year's grand final. So it's Stefano and Ativalu. Like, and it's almost pretty much the same starting side. It's just Tui's off the bench and Stefano's starting, or it could change come game day. But
yep.
Does that have an impact because it's so fresh compared to the Broncos' heartbreak from a couple of years ago? Like with the lessons you learn throughout the week. 15
players on the field having that same feeling only 12 months ago,
yep.
Losing that grand final, you'd have to say it would have an impact because they don't want that. They wouldn't want that feeling again. Of just losing another one back to back.
Well, man, I think we've got a grand final for the ages on this one. And finally, our predictions. Where are we going?
I'm going to have to go with the Storm, but in a very close game, like less than 12 points. Storm by 10? Storm by 10. Who are you going?
I'm going Golden Point, Broncos to win it in Golden Point.
Sweet.
All right, perfect, perfect.
Well, then we've got another grand final, NRLW, the Roosters taking on the Broncos. Jeez, what a weekend for the Brisbane Broncos. For a Brisbane fan, even last week we mentioned they won the AFL, and here they are having the women and the men in the grand final, but just a couple key factors in this game. The Roosters are going for two premierships in a row and their third all up, and they've won the last 18 games.
I reckon that pressure's going to get to them. That
you
reckon, perfection.
When you win too much?
Yep.
Well, I think the Broncos are the favourites as well.
I reckon because I like the way the Broncos play. They're probably like the men's side. They've got a bit more ad lib about them, whereas the Roosters might be a bit more structured. I just think they've, what you said as well a couple of weeks ago with that three, those three players around Shalom, Aneta
and
Mele.
Yep.
Just, if they can get a roll on, I just think they've just got like Tamika Upton and those type of players to just go off the cuff a bit more.
Yeah, and Broncos, speaking of the Broncos, they are going for their fourth title and first since the 2020.
And haven't lost a grand final when they've been in one.
One thing I noticed too at the Daily M's, they seem like a really connected group, like really close group.
Did you notice that? So body language, who looked the most relaxed?
The Broncos.
The Bronx, that's a key factor for me.
Just like they were all, yeah, just enjoying that moment where I felt like there was a bit of, not tension but nerves with the Roosters. There was, yeah, just the, maybe they were just putting on that professional.
Professional, you know, we've got our detail down pat.
Smiling, yeah, enjoying that moment, enjoying the evening.
That's a good sign for me, going relaxed into this type of grand final because all the pressure's back on the Roosters. So, yeah.
Key players for the Roosters.
You have to go Olivia Koenig. Her playing in the middle. She roams a bit more, and that Strange, the coach, that's why she's in there because he likes her playing the whole field, not just stuck on one side.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, I think she's a big player.
I love how she ball plays but then also takes the carry as well. So she's a run threat but then also knows how to get the ball moving, lets the ball sing. But for the Broncos, obviously, Tamika Upton, the Daily M medalist for NRLW, so the best player in the game, in the women's rugby league game. She's going to be a huge threat. Now, key Nijan players for both teams, for the Roosters, who have we got?
Yeah, Aliyah Nasir comes back in. She's in the second row. She should be fresh coming off her suspension. I think she adds that punch that the Roosters will need because that platform that you always talk about, trying to get quick play the balls, she's a big body, so powerful, and she's very quick.
And then for the Broncos, Aneta Claudia Nursala. She's going to be an absolute beast in the middle. And then coming off the bench, the rookie of the year, Shalom Sawoso.
I can't believe that she's only a rookie. It feels like she's played well above her age.
I loved how we had her here on Nijan Footy. And then
for her 17th birthday, I think it was. She's killing it.
Nah, she, and we'll get through the Daily M Awards very shortly. But remember, you can hear the NRL and NRLW Grand Finals live on ABC Radio Australia with coverage starting at 11 a.m. PNG time.
The NRL finals are here on Radio Australia.
Catches brilliantly, scores the try.
Gets the ball down in the corner.
And scores the game-winning try under the post.
Hear them all with the best commentary team in the business.
Try of the year.
Launches, plants it down.
Oh, what an amazing finish.
Don't miss a minute of the NRL finals.
Rugby league, you beautiful thing.
Right here on ABC Radio Australia, your home of rugby league in the Pacific.
Hi everyone, my name is Melvin Fonga and you are listening to New Eden
Footy.
Eden Mystics.
Bro, how many people stumble on saying, and you're listening, and anyway, Eden Mystics, Daily M's. Before we get to rugby union, let's talk about the Daily M's, because we had some Pacifica talent clean up the awards at the Daily M's. Is it Daly M or Daly M's?
Daly M's.
Daly M's. There Daly we go. M, mate. Why am I saying Daly? Daly? Anyway.
Daly M's. Daly M's.
Daly M's.
Let's start with our wingers. Mark Nawanga Nitewase and PNG Flyer Xavier Coates. They got named wingers of the year in the Daly M team of the year. Mark Nawanga Nitewase also got the try of the year, the one-step hop.
With the little chip
and then runs outside the field, comes back in, and we'll play some audio right now.
Play to Watson to the right, Radley to Savala to Tedesco, cut out ball and Wanganitawase, cross comes Burton, beats him, then a little chip and chase along Wanganitawase, that is amazing, but the touch judge, did he go out? Referee Ashley Klein points to the spot, amazing chase by Wanganitawase, the kick right on the touchline.
That is a miracle, absolute miracle, because he comes from the field of play, comes in and scores the most freakish of tries. I don't think I've seen any better. On degree of difficulties, we saw Xavier Coates last year. That was better.
Yeah, that had to go down as really the best try you'll see from a winger.
At centre, where Tongan Katoni Stags and Samoan Stephen Crichton, they've got their positions in centres, and Tongan prop Adam Fanua Blake and the Samoan counterpart Payne Haas. They got props, and then Tongan Ali Katoa, second rower, and then at lock, Samoan. Didn't know he was Samoan, Aaron Clark. I knew he was Māori, but Māori Samoan, Aaron Clark got lock from the New Zealand Warriors. That's 8 out of 13 all Pacifica players.
What a team. Can you imagine that team lining up against, who would they actually, for say if they all played for Australia? Like, that is a dream team.
Imagine if they had the Pacific All-Stars versus...
The Indigenous All-Star or Pacific All-Stars versus Kangaroos.
Yeah. I reckon next year's World Cup's going to be interesting.
Who are they going to choose?
A lot of those players.
Man, there's some talent in rugby league. James Superstars.
James Tedesco, Cook Islander, he got the main award.
Well, Tamika Upton's Tongan then.
He won the Daly M Player of the Year. So the best player in the NRL was James Tedesco. And the point system. Your cuz, Isaiah Katoa and Samoan Payne Haas, they finished equal third on the ladder.
Hey, they were looking sharp, the lads on the, is it the green carpet? It wasn't the red carpet, it was the green carpet there. Fantastic, loved it.
And then Tongan Rob Toya from the Roosters, he got Rookie of the Year. Marky Mark, he won the Try of the Year. And go listen to our podcast where you will hear Mark Nawanga Nitewase's.
Sorry, say that one again.
Mark Nawanga Nitewase's interview that we done on Monday.
Probably the best interview I feel like we've ever done, T. I'm not going to lie. That was one of my favourite chats with Big Marky Mark.
And then women's. You want to cover the women's?
Yeah, Daly M, as I said, Tongan Tamika Upton. No, she's not Tongan. I wish she was. Second Daly M. Man, she's an absolute freak. They call her Freaky Meeky. And our top Nijan player was Tongan star Yasmin Clydesdale in seventh place, who also made the team of the year 3 years in a row. She's won second row of the year. That's impressive. What do you like about Yazzie's game?
Her work rate. Tough carries out of yardage, but as a back rower, having to come back and take them carries. And it's in the ones that I notice are the ones in the dying minutes. Her first carry is just like her last carry. Just full, like a lot of grit, a lot of determination, but a leader that leads by actions.
Not wrong there. And our Rookie of the Year is Shalom Sawaso, absolute superstar. And man, she's going to be in that jersey, that Broncos jersey for how many more years has she got? Because I believe she's only 18.
Yep. So, well, she was 17 when she was on our show?
On our show, yep. Just turned 17. So, man, she's got another, can you believe she's probably got another 15 years ahead of her? That is scary to think. And big congrats as well to Samoan prop Ivana Lautiti. Do you remember Big Lautiti, the old man back in the day playing for the Warriors?
Right, he's a Leeds legend as well.
Is he?
Yeah. And he played at Wakefield.
Shaky Wakey as well.
He was like the OG man that would hold the ball in one hand.
Yes.
Nice little offload.
Well, she got tackle of the year.
Paletti, so Mateo.
Chip off the old block. So plenty of superstars cleaned up at the awards night for all of our Pacifica stars out there. How
congratulations.
Good.
And then we've got the grand final this weekend, but rugby league is still not over. We've got PAC champs coming up in a couple weeks' time. We'll dive into a little bit of that next week here on Nesian Footy. So stay tuned and we'll cover that because there's some exciting games. We've got PNG, Cook Islands, Fiji, the big game in Brisbane, Tonga versus Samoa.
Yes.
That's going to be a blockbuster.
Hey,
so,
are you going to PNG?
I will be
heading, you're heading over there? Okay, yeah. Do some groundwork over there, my friends. A couple of interviews, just a couple of side hustles.
That's the mission, mate.
And I'll go get a meat pie from that place. I'll take you to the meat pie shop. Sorry, I won't take you, but I'll let you know about the meat pie place where you should have about 400 of them in your time. But we're going to get over to Rugby Union. And R360's come up again, T. Your code feels a little bit scared. Is that what I'm feeling?
I think all codes. Your code is too.
Our code's been scared for a long time. We've been in. So we're always scared. We're starting to climb back up. But
for all our listeners that aren't aware of R360, give us a bit of detail on what is R360?
All right. So to give a comparison, the Indian Premier League, the cricket, you know, the IPL over there, where like a lot of, I think, I'll say big investors own teams. And they go and attract all the superstars from around the world and they play in certain teams where they can bid for them and there's a draft system and they have a short tournament cleanup. Like the money's huge.
So a lot of investors. They've done the same thing in golf as
well. Live Golf, same type of thing. So they call it a breakaway league or a rebel league that goes against maybe some of the traditions of the normal traditional game. So Mike Tindall, former World Cup winner for England, he's one of the co-founders of this new competition, so called R360, and it's been in the news for a while now. They're trying to poach. They need about 160 players to get this competition up and going.
Where are they going to play this competition?
It's going to be like a traveling circus, so almost like F1 style.
Like the Seventh
Circuit. Yep. So all the big towns, apparently, London, Paris, I think in the UAE, like United Arab Emirates,
so
around
if you're
there.
A player in this competition, you'll travel to these different cities.
Locations to play. So it's apparently been given the green light. YouTube is supposed to be the broadcaster for this. So October next year, where 10 teams, 6 men's, 4 women's teams will play over 6 countries and there'll be a final. So it'll be like a bit of a sugar hit. So then it will increase to 12 games the following year and then 16 in the third year.
Have they got them details already?
Apparently that's what's out there. And when you think about, I think one of the positives out of this, I think
the players are going to get paid.
They will get paid, but I think the big beneficiaries of this is our Pacific Island players, because when I think of the way our Pacific Island players get to in rugby league, where they get paid from their clubs and they can have the choice to go play for Tonga, Samoa, Cook Islands without feeling like they're losing out on coin. Because that's the biggest one in rugby union at the moment, is that when you, like, and we've seen, that's why players had to pull out for Samoa, Tonga, Fiji, because they fact that I can't sacrifice that amount of coin to go play for my country because I need this.
Yeah.
It's my livelihood. Where now this competition is not going to block anyone from playing for their country. So if they can get a decent amount of coin playing in this R360 competition, and then they go, okay, Fiji, you've got Samoa, you've got a World Cup qualifier now, bro, they can have their strongest team and not feel bad. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I'm going to put my RLPA hat on and
put it on.
My
son.
Biggest concern would be what do those environments look like for the players? Are there safe? Are there protections? Are there, you know, are they going into camps where them and their families will be looked after. Now, I'm assuming with the big back end financially, shouldn't be an issue.
Well, that's why the traditional game lasts.
Yeah.
Because there are those
securities
and policies in place to make sure that's, yeah, what happens if you go bankrupt? Where's my pay security?
Yeah.
You know, can you just pull out and just go, no, and then you're left in limbo. You know, there's always tax implications as well. So where are they going to base themselves? And that can catch up with people if you're an Australian resident.
Earning $3 million.
Over there. What does that mean? So I know that's probably one of the hurdles why it still is pretty 50-50, because if you need 50 tight head props, there's not 50 tight head props around.
Mm.
Like that is scrummaging is part of the game. So they're going to have to try and find that somewhere, like, you know, doctors, physios, training grounds, everything that comes with high performance.
What does that mean to rugby union competitions like Super Rugby, even NRL?
Yeah, it's a good point, because I know that, so say they need 160 players. I know there's big high-profile players holding out because they want to be like the last few, because that's one of the conditions for this game to get up and going. They need those stars, and it's almost like the investors aren't going to say yes, it's us until they get that
until
number.
They say yes, yeah.
So if you're the last few,
they don't want to say yes at the start, and then it doesn't.
Yeah, it doesn't happen. So they'll wait, and they go, okay, to get this over the line, I'm going to give you 5. Yeah, done. Thank you. But we see Peter Volandi's come out and said that there might be some
consequences
if they do go.
There is consequences to everything. Yes.
The Wallabies have said the same thing. If you play in this competition, you will not be included in the 2027 World Cup. So,
yeah, but if the Wallabies lose 5 of their best players and then they want to come back and represent the Wallabies and Wallabies want to win at home,
I've seen this scenario play out plenty of times before where they've made these rules. You've come out and made these bold statements within 2 months to go, nah, jokes, we need you back. So look, I don't know if this competition is going to get up and going. I do believe it's something that rugby union needs in terms of a shake-up to get them back on their toes, thinking about the game and the entertainment side of things. But there's some risks.
Give me one player who you think, if the competition R360 does go ahead, who's one player you think will definitely be in there?
Who's one player that just said no to the Roosters?
Markey.
I reckon he's off contract right at the end of NRL.
You know my guess? Joey Manu.
Joey Manu. But he's at Racing now, Metro. Probably. Yep. So in France. So you look at all the ones that are coming off contract at the end of next year. They've got the best of both worlds there. So, plenty happening there. Plenty happening for that.
So, if Markey does go there, and... Oh, actually, when's this competition kick? Like
October 2026.
Next year.
But it's for 6 games, they're saying.
6 games?
6 games.
So, someone will get paid $1.5 million to play 6 games?
6 games, exactly. So, I don't understand. Like, he can sign for 1 year. That, you know what I mean? Amazing. So, like, if...
Does he play World Cup?
I think he does, because he's not actually with a Super Rugby team at the moment. So if you go October, November, December, January, just in that four-month period, Super Rugby hasn't even started yet. So he could potentially get a little sugar hit for 1 year, sign with a Super Rugby team, or go overseas and still be eligible for the World Cup.
Well played, Mark.
You know
well
what I mean? Played. So I just feel like it's chess, not checkers, and there's rules to everything. And is that your phone going off?
Speaking of Mark,
is that Mark with you? Yeah. Another interview.
He goes, oh, I can hear you.
Hey, I can hear you. Stop talking rubbish about you. You've got no idea. You're not a journo. Making stuff up. But there you have it, my friend. That's my R360 wrap up at Bledisloe 2. Is that your phone again? Can you put it on silent? If you're not drinking coconut water, coffee, lolly, sending emails through my rugby union chat, mate, you're on fire.
Let's get over to Manaa Namani.
No, we can't yet. We can't. We've got, quickly, Bledisloe 2. How could you forget? I know it's about rugby league, but Bledisloe 2.
Sorry, just flipped the page. Bledisloe, talk to me. Perth?
In Perth, sold out crowd.
20,000.
Come on, mate. Come on, mate. It's about 65 there.
65. Okay. 65. Do you reckon there's more New Zealand fans there?
110%. There's so many Kiwis over there. So many Kiwis. They're all working in the mines and doing some amazing things over there in Perth. But some big news, Will Skelton rejoins.
He's come from France, come back.
Yep.
The saviour.
The saviour is back.
Do you reckon if he plays last week, they win? I reckon.
I think so. I don't know why they don't play him and Lucan together.
Do you reckon if it was a different ref, they win? I reckon.
Nah, all refs are the same in rugby.
Is this the same ref this weekend?
Oh, I've got no idea. I'm done with refs. But Alan Alaalatoa is back as well in the starting lineup, as well as Fijian Filippo Dangunu. And we'll have Rob Valentini coming off the bench, so a lot of strike power. So I feel like this is a really good-looking Wallabies side. If they are to be the real deal, they have to beat the All Blacks once. And it has to be this game because if it was 3-0 against the Lions, I would have written the Wallabies off, but they got that one. They've got this one to go to make sure that they're the real deal. So big weekend of league, a little bit of a big weekend for rugby union. So there we have it, T.
Now we go to NEMS.
Now we can head off to NEMS.
Join Jacob McQuire and Michael Chow for Nisha Daily every weekday morning on ABC Radio Australia.
What was my DJ name? MC How.
Ooh. That's similar to my rap name, MC Choir.
Oh, damn.
It's McQuire, you know what I mean? Emily, do you have a DJ name?
No. Oh my gosh, I've never thought about this before. DJ.
All right, sick. You heard it here first.
Nisha Daily, weekday mornings from 7 o'clock PNG time on ABC Radio Australia.
Hey guys, I'm Alan Alaalatoa. I'm from the Wallabies, and you're listening to Nisian Footy.
The Rugby Union Preview.
Interception by Big Nemani.
With Nemani Kurindrani.
All right, it's time to chat all things Rugby Union with our former Fijian flyer who's played at more clubs than a deck of cards, Nemani Kurindrani. Here he is. Oh, you like that one? Came up with that all by myself.
Thank you, ChatGPT.
It was that. I've used the more clubs than a goal for a fair few times, so I just wanted to change it up a little bit. But how are you, my friend? How's Fiji treating you?
Yeah, good. Bit cooler weather this last few days.
What's that, 30 degrees?
Yeah. So I went to the village, actually, a few days ago. So, no, it's been really good. Just working, normal life, normal people, what normal people does. So.
No, normal people don't go to work and get their photos and signatures asked for everywhere you go. So, no, it's not normal for you. But anyway, hey, we'll go into last week's game, Samoa-Chile. We knew it was going to be a tough one, especially with all those players pulling out before the game. But firstly, what did you make of the game itself?
Yeah, again, I feel for Samoa. I feel for Samoa rugby. I feel for Samoa the people. I know they're very proud people. And, in any team to be disrupted with 10 guys not being able to put on a jersey that week, you know, it just makes it harder for coaches to really put on a good team. And, you know, that shouldn't be happening, you know, in a World Cup qualifier. I was fortunate enough. I got to play in one, and, you know, even though we won convincingly, we played the Cook Islands back in 2013 to qualify for the World Cup. And I remember, yes, we won in the end, but it was a bit of a, you know, like a nervous week, right? So, you know, I can only imagine what the coaches were going through having that 10, but then I think 4 or 5 new debutants came in. One of my old teammates made his debut, which I'm really proud of. His name is Reloy Suisui. He's a halfback down at West Sydney Two Blues or Parramatta Two Blues. So, you know, as much as I'm happy for him, you know, I just got a feel for the Samoan team, you know. And I think there's something in the core. I think there's something deep that lies within it, why they are, you know, where they are. And I think the question's got to be asked, why are you getting 10? Why are 10 guys, if they're not injured, why are they leaving the week of a very important game that potentially going to see your country go to the World Cup?
It was reported that a few of those players had to go back to their clubs in France and England. Now, have you ever been in that situation?
Yeah, I have. But I remember when I was doing my negotiations in my clubs, because you always hear about it, I always made sure that I could play for Fiji if I wasn't injured. You know, and I totally understand where they're coming from in terms of, you know, there'll be some guys that might not get paid if they're away for a certain amount of time, and that's, you know, it's probably change. I'm not sure, but yeah, it's just, yeah, like that's got to stop, man, because that sort of stuff happened, you know, should have stopped 10 years ago. You know, when it's a World Cup qualifier, I really think World Rugby should really allow that window to be for players to represent their countries, right? And again, it's not, I don't think it was in within the window. So, and the clubs are just, you know, are in their rightful authority to do that if it's not within the Regulation 9 window. So, you know, the clubs aren't really at fault, but at the same time, I think World Rugby's got to allow that these players can play for their countries in qualifiers or in important games like that.
If there is a deeper issue with the Manu Samoa, who asks the questions to be answered? Is it from the playing group or is it from the public?
Look, to be fair, it's got to be the playing group. And I think the playing group or the senior players, the core players need to stand up and talk. They need to ask why this is happening. I just feel this is not only the first time we're hearing about someone rugby. It's been in that situation for a long time. And, you know, I'm in no place to speak about it. I'm obviously not Samoan, you know, I'm Fijian. But in situations like that, players need to speak up and go, what's going on? You know, because you're going to keep repeating these sort of incidents and situations. And once if that's not addressed, it's going to have a longer lasting effect. And as you can see, Samoa, they don't have a Europe tour this year now. Tonga don't have a European tour. It's really sad, but I actually don't think it's got to do with World Rugby in terms of the Samoan. I think it's got to do with the top. I'm always a big believer in that. Everything starts at the top. So, you know, whoever's running the show or the cutter up in Samoan Rugby really needs to, I guess, have a look at themselves. The country's struggling.
Absolutely, absolutely. Because we were saying the other week, you know, you can't go from beating the Wallabies in 2011 and then come close to beating one of the best All Black teams in 2015 to now struggling to qualify for a World Cup against Chile. I just want to know, so with Fiji, obviously they seem like they're in a pretty good place now, and they, you know, with the draws obviously help, but what's one noticeable thing from when you played to now that's created that change for them to be in a better spot and not be in a position like where Samoa and sometimes where Tonga is?
Look, I think for starters, the standard of level of rugby, like what I'm saying is the professional level of rugby players, right? In the past, it always used to be professionals and a little bit of locals that had none of that experience. Now everyone's a professional rugby player, so that standard lifts whether you're playing Super Rugby or international. But I also so that's probably the major key, right? Now coaches aren't coming in to teach you. They're now coming in to set those standards because the players already know what's expected at that level. Whereas opposed to, I think in the past, especially in times when I've been there, coaches had to come and sort of teach a small group of players in that squad what's it like to be a professional rugby, you know, player. What's it like? And I think we're seeing that with Samoa and Tonga. You know, no disrespect to them. They've got club players coming in so that, you know, and that's Fiji was once at that level. You know, we were once at that time where we were still getting educated on how to play. And don't get me wrong, we're still, you know, with the draw being on the island, there's a long way to go to be becoming a full-fledged professional athlete. And I'm seeing that firsthand here. And so then when all these coaches are coming in, it's like, right, we've got world-class coaches. Now our level of our standard of rugby as rugby players have gone up. So now you're competing. So I don't think the governance has changed. I think, you know, that could be do a lot of cleaning up and whatnot as well. But, you know, it starts with that standard of rugby players. You know, we're really really fortunate. You can see that in PNCs where, mate, let's face it, boys, it was a walkthrough. And they need to be there about. I think it's time for them to sort of move on. And I just hope they don't dip like Japan did. There was a few years there, they were really good. And then they dipped a little bit. But I can't see. I think Fiji's is on the rise and it's going to be there for a while.
Yeah, they were pretty dominant in the PNC. But, you know, with speaking of Fiji's development and growth, you know, rugby championships finish up this weekend. But there is some chat around a bit of a shake-up in that competition and Fiji could be in the mix. What are your thoughts on that news?
Yeah, I think it's really good. But, like, yeah, you're right. There's so much noise and you know, scenarios coming out of how the rugby championship is going to work. I read one where they're going to can it all together and just do three test tours. And then I heard that Fiji and Japan are going to be in it. I think it's time. If there's a time for Fiji to be introduced into the rugby championship, I think it's now. You know, you've got the World Cup in 2027. They're already competitive as it is. And I just think with their introduction into this championship, you know, where they nearly beat Australia. They've beaten Australia before, right? Argentina, you know, they've got a good chance, you know. And then obviously you're learning from the best, like the All Blacks and Springboks, in the hope of one day, you know, beating them. We've seen it with Argentina. It took years for that to happen. And I just think if Fiji can – I think it's time for Fiji to be elevated. And, you know, it's going to be scary for some of these teams because they know Fiji aren't just going to be walkovers. And, I sort of see the same journey that Argentina took. I think Fiji's at that, you know, at the start of that. You know, now you're going to get Fiji in quarterfinals, semifinals, and, you know, hopefully we'll win it one day.
Can you imagine the home game, you know, in Fiji? Like, who would draw the biggest crowd out of all the nations they had to play against?
Oh, look, they'll all draw big crowds, but I just think your Springboks and your All Blacks, like, because we've never really seen them come over, right? We've seen, obviously, the Wallabies, Australia A, come over. And, you know, and that's I think Australia's going to be sort of the rivalry game with for us. You know, it's like Fiji and Wales. It'll be Fiji, Australia, and then, you know, I think the first few years it'll be starstruck. You're playing South Africa, the Springboks, and All Blacks at home. And then like Argentina, you know, start, oh, mate, we're playing. And then after that, I think give it 3, 4, 5 years, or maybe 3 years, I reckon we'll start beating.
Man, I would love to be there when if South Africa played in Fiji. Just like that's a culture shock for South Africans to get over there. That will be different. New Zealanders, they're used to holidaying, but.
Yeah, for everyone too. Like the Springboks do not come this side of the world. So imagine, I remember they came to Australia, they came to Fiji back in 2003, but it wasn't the Springboks, it was the Vodacom Bulls. So you had like Victor Matfield and Bucky's Boita. There's photos I've seen, you know, getting around here, and it's like, wow. And they played in like, at least my Toka ground looks good now. You should have seen then. It was like bitumen. Oh,
I bet. How good's that? We'll move over to the Women's Rugby World Cup. It wrapped up last weekend, and second highest crowd ever at a World Cup, men's or women's. Oh, you've played at Twickenham before. That crowd was electric, but the spectacle itself, the game itself was unreal. Showcase of skill from the ladies. What was your final thoughts around the Women's Rugby World Cup?
I think it was a great success. And I've always been saying this for a long time, like England women's, congratulations, they were champions, but they know how to do women's rugby on a domestic level as well as international level. Like they set the standard. It was a great spectacle. And I think everyone keeps talking about this World Cup and, you know, the last World Cup and this World Cup, but you know, one thing I think we've got to pay tribute to the OGs, the guys that started, that, you know, took in the gamble of playing rugby. Like you see, a lot has been said about now, but I just think, you know, the guys that started, I think it was 96 or
the Trailblazers.
The Trailblazers that really took that chance, you know, because imagine now we're praising them, but imagine back then, right, where back then it was all men dominated and they were probably the laughing stock per se. So I don't think enough credit's been given to them. But in saying that, for them to set, you know, for them to decide they wanted to give this women's rugby a good crack, you look at it now. You know, I mean, 81,000 or 82,000. I've been fortunate enough to play at Twickenham and you can't hear yourself think, right? So you can imagine these guys just playing. And you've got to take your head, another team too that really – I think they should make a movie out of, and I'm pretty maybe one day they will. Is a Canadian rugby team. They did a GoFundMe page to get to $1 million for them to go to the World Cup. Right, second best team. This sounds like the Jamaican bobsled team. everyone gave, and they, you know, and rugby's not big in Canada. I remember playing a test match in Canada, and we were going through this cornfield. In Ottawa,
a cornfield.
They had a rugby field out of nowhere. So
it goes to show, like, right, and they literally went to the grand final. They beat the Black Ferns. Like, it's crazy to think that. And I just think, you know, they hats off to them for doing what they did. And I just really, you know, think, hope world rugby can see that women's rugby is its own market. And one thing too, and I've got to say this, we've got to stop comparing men's rugby to women's rugby. Like, women's rugby is its own brand and it's growing, and I'm all for it, right? I love it. But men's rugby is, and, you know, let's face it, men's rugby, we're pretty old, boring, and that's it. But that suits us. Women's rugby is like, you know, they're happy, they're in front of the camera, and that's them. And I love that. You know, like, I just don't like when people are sort of comparing. Like, trust me, we are grumpy old men, and these guys are the new sort of brand. So let's enjoy it. Let's go with them.
It's a really good point, because even when I watch, say like Samoa, like, and I'm so happy that Samoa is at the World Cup or Fiji, but, like, you know, when you're dancing after you're losing 98-0, it was really hard for me to get out of my head that, bro, you're not supposed to dance after losing by 98, but to see their smiles, to see them playing in front of big crowds, it goes, bro, warm my heart to go, like, that's what footy should be about.
And that's the thing. They, you know, the 98, when they got when they got beaten by 98-0 or 98-3 or whatever it was, and then to hear, like, you know, like you said, you're like, what are you doing? Then you hear their story.
Yes.
I kid you not, I was tearing up when I saw their captain, got interviewed after the game. Like, I was tearing up going, holy hecka. Because we've been there, you know, we've been in rugby teams with everything's given to us. So, you know, like that, and that's what I love. I love women's rugby. It's a great brand. Let it be that brand and let it grow. And, it's mind-blowing to see how far this thing can go, you know, and good on them. I like I said, congratulations, England, but women's rugby is here to stay, and I've got a good feeling it's going to grow.
Yep, you're not wrong. Now, speaking of World Rugby, R360, that competition, you know, there's whispers that it's looking like it is closer to going ahead, but have you heard anything on the grounds about any Fiji players and, like, going over playing the R360, or have you got to offer a phone call?
I was going to say, that's why he's been training and looking good. Chances.
We'll start with me first. I heard about it, and I wanted to go for a jog. I actually just bulged out my lower back. So I'm actually, kid you not, I'm limping at the moment. So my comeback is off the table. But, yes, you're right. There's R360. Is traveling quickly around the islands. Oof. You know, good luck trying. I actually feel for Glenn Jacko because,
mate, just another thing they have to compete with, you know, around money and getting ripped apart.
And I think, like, from what I hear, it's ridiculous money. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, and I can understand both sides. Like, obviously, players, if someone's throwing me $3 million to go, I'd dance naked if I have to.
You dance get what
I
mean? Naked?
But, yeah, well, $3 million.
For
geez.
$3 mil?
Well, mate, that's free over that side of the world. So anyway, blur that bit out. But, you know, and then I can see it's sort of not its traditional, you know, values or whatnot. But, yeah, mate, and also the league guys here too are getting approached. So
Okay. Nems, that's a headline. I'm going to cut that bit out, send it to all the media outlets, and it'll be old dance naked for $3 mil. Nemani Nondola.
I know Dex.
Let's go. GoFundMe page.
Nemani Kundrani. GoFundMe page. We'll get that sorted. I'd love to see the big man out in his birthday suit. How good. But how much would you be worth at the peak of your powers if you – you know, what would be your number, like serious number?
Oh, marquee, mate, marquee.
But at the peak of your powers, when you're leaping for that try in that World Cup game against England or Wales, which one was it, England, and you score that try, that's the peak of your powers, how much is Nemani Kurundrani worth?
Look, I know this is going to get cut out and I'm going to get stitched up here, but I reckon 1.5.
A month. Oh, love it, Nems. Unreal chat, my bro. Unreal chats. And before we go, Deckard, we have
please,
to get.
Please ignore.
No, it's all staying. We've got headlines galore today from you, my friend. But before we go, who's your prediction? Grand final.
NRL, Broncos, NRL, or the Storm.
And then NRLW as well.
Hey, remember, Big Toys playing for Melbourne.
Look, I am a Brisbane boy through and through. We've been heartbroken. I actually went to the last grand final where, and I was sitting next to Crichton's family when Penrith made that comeback, and it broke my heart. But I'm thinking Brisbane. Oh, I'm not good at betting, hey boys. So I should say Melbourne. Brisbane by four.
Brisbane by four. And NRLW?
Brisbane. I'm expecting Rookie of the Year, Shalom.
Shalom. Yep.
She's come from Union.
Yes, she has.
Yeah, we've already discussed that. Yeah, we've already gone deep. It breaks my heart all the time.
But hey, if you want to hear her podcast on Nijan Footy, just search that word to get a podcast, mate.
Oh, I must say, she's from Ipswich.
Yeah, she's an Ippy girl, yep.
They breed them well out there.
Nams, love your work, mate. Until we check in again next week, all the best. Keep training hard because you're worth 1.5, my friend.
That's it.
All right, take care, brother. Boy. More that.
Delete.
Hey guys, it's AB Coates here. You guys are listening to Nijan Footy.
Let's get ready to rumble!
Knockout tipping time.
Yes, our knockout tipping competition that we finish our Nijan Friday shows with. We get to pick, actually we won't be picking one team each week. We'll be picking a try scorer for this weekend's grand final, Storm versus Brisbane Broncos. The scores are 39 each.
Oh, man, I love the try scorer new change to our game because I was writing myself off. I was like, done. I had my jersey all ready for you, T, but now I'm going to put it back in the bag.
Yep, because the loser has to give the winner a jersey. Their choice.
Yes.
Of their choice.
No, I've got your good one.
Not the loser's choice.
No, you'll
choice.
Like this one. You'll love it, trust
talking
me.
Like I've already won the tipping cup.
All right, here we go.
Try scorers.
All right, try scores. Here we go again.
Who's picking first? Me?
Yeah, you go.
Are we going from each team, yeah?
Yes, yep. So we'll go same as last week. Yep. So Storm, Broncos, one Nijan player for each team that will score. Okay, T, so you're going to go first.
Nijan.
For Storm.
I'm going Xavier. You got him last week.
Oh, so I can't go him again.
You can't go Xavier this
okay.
week. I reckon Tui. Kamitha
off good, the bench.
Yes.
Yeah. Anytime try scorer there. Do you know who I do
Ativalu.
Like?
Ativalu.
No.
Well, he'll score. He scored a couple of weeks ago.
No, I'm going Eli Katoa.
How is he going to score?
Right, I reckon.
Actually, let's go an extra, let's go extra point if we guess
how he scores. Do you know what's going to happen? They're gonna come to. He plays on the right side, yeah.
Yep.
So they're gonna Munster's gonna put up a kick.
Yeah.
Crossfield
kick.
Yeah, but not right to the edge. Right where the
on the three man.
Yes.
So the opposite half.
Yes, on him. It's gonna fumble, and he's gonna scoop it up, and he's gonna score.
Nice.
That's how he's
gonna
score. He
gets up and jumps over and scores. But Xavier, let's go with the
crossfield kick.
but it will be. Fifth tackle, Cam Munster on the left side. He gets it inside that post, kicks it over, and then he'll jump over the opposition winger and come down with
okay,
it.
Okay.
All right, Broncos, you pick first.
I'm going to go Payne Haas.
Payne Haas.
He's going to score. I feel like there's a Fifita-like moment here to win the game for the Broncos.
Ooh, under the post.
Under the post. They need him because they're going to be down.
Spin, yep.
They're going to be down, and he's just going to go, give me that ball. I'm winning this game for my team. So Payne is my man.
Okay, Payne Haas. I will go. Oh, let's go Brendan Piakura.
Okay.
And the way that he will score, he'll be pushing up and then someone will make a break and he'll be there.
Okay, there we have it. I love it. T. Oh, man, I'm excited for this grand final.
NRLW
okay. as well.
I'm Roosters, you're Broncos.
Yep. And the Wallabies. Oh, here we go. It is a close one. Yeah, I think it'll be closer than
six. Do you want a 3.5 line or just head to head?
Give me a little head start.
2.5.
2.5? No, penalty goal. 2.5?
Yeah, 2.5.
I don't like 2.5, but I'll take 2.5.
You'll take 2.5.
I'll take it. Yeah, I'll take it. Come on, the Wallabies.
2.5. I'll go the All Blacks. That is us done for Nijan Footy Fridays. Tell your Pacifica mates about our Monday and Friday shows and subscribe to the podcast. Just search for Nijan Footy wherever you get your podcast.
Hey, and remember, you can hear the NRL and NRLW Grand Finals live on ABC Radio Australia with coverage all day starting at about 11 a.m. PNG time. Ka kite.
Ka kite. This show was produced on the lands of the Gadigal people of the Eora Nation.